Canto 2. The day was dying, and the darkening air brought all the working world of living things to rest. I only sweated to prepare for war, the way ahead, the grind that brings the battler to hot tears for each yard gained, to bitter tears, and memories more real than what was real and which is thus retained, unblunted, edged with even sharper steel. My muse, my schooled and proven gift, help me. It's now or never. Fortify my mind with the vivifying skills of poetry. For what I saw needs art of a great kind. I saw great things. Give them nobility. Thus I began. Poet, I call my guide. Judge first my powers. Will they serve so high a purpose? Would you rather step aside than put me to this road? For you, not I, have told the world Aeneas mortal still went to another world and not to die. But if the adversary of all ill saw fit to let him live, thinking of who and what he was, princely progenitor of everything that Rome would be and do in times to come, who could deserve it more? A man of intellect, the soul of Rome and all its empire, he was singled out there where the light eternal has its home at the highest level. Also, what about that city? Though the world fell at its feet, Rome was created first so that one day great Peter's followers might have their seat enthroned by the divine will. When you say Aeneas sailed to victory, what he heard along the way ensured not only that, but the papal mantle. So the holy word, sent backwards into time, aimed only at your hero, hit the mark. And then Paul's ship, the chosen vessel, came to Rome as well. The vessel, in a sense, that faith might sip renewal from, and did. But now, pray tell, why me? Who says that I get to go there? Do I look like Aeneas? Am I Paul? Not I nor anyone I know would dare to put me in that company at all. Therefore, if I persuade myself to go, I trust I'll not be punished as a fool. Wise man, what I have not said you must know. Just so, obeying the unwritten rule, that one who would unwish that which he wished, having thought twice about what first he sought, must put fish back into the pool he fished, so they, set free, may once again be caught. Just so did I, in that now shadowy fold, because by thinking I'd consumed the thought I started with, that I had thought so bold. If I have understood your words aright, magnanimously the great shade replied, your soul is crumbling from the needless blight of misplaced modesty, which is false pride reversed, and many men by this are swayed from honorable enterprise. One thinks of a dreaming beast that wakes with temper frayed, and finds the prowler into whom it sinks its teeth does not exist. Upon that head, that you be free of fear, I'll tell you why I came and what I felt when I was led first to your quaking side by your far cry. Along with all those caught between desire to see the one above and sheer despair that they will never even see hell fire, I was in limbo. Out of the open air she stepped and stood, and then she called my name, a woman beatific, beautiful. Her scintillating eyes outshone the flame of stars. To disobey? Impossible. I begged her to command me. She gave voice. It was an angel's voice, restrained and sweet. Courteous soul of Mantua, rejoice. Your fame lives on, exalted and complete, and will throughout the world from end to end until the world ends. But I need you now. In a deserted hillside field, my friend is fortune's enemy and can't see how to make his way. Terror could turn him back. I'm not sure if he's not already dead, or if I've come in time to clear the track that leads him, as in heaven I've heard said, to salvation. So if you would obey, go to him, and with all your verbal art, with anything it takes, show him the way. Do this for me, for I am sick at heart. My name is Beatrice. Now you know your task. Where I come from and long to be restored, love rules me. It determines what I ask. When I am once again before my Lord, then I to him whom all praise will praise you. Her melody was done, then I to her. Woman of quality, know this is true. One look at you and I knew who you were. For only through that quality the race of men raised by that quality, virtue, can hope to set their eyes on the high place beyond any contentment they enjoy under the lower sky ruled by the moon. So glad am I to be in your employ. I'd not have carried out my task too soon if I'd already done it. Enough said. I was persuaded even as you spoke. But tell me this. Why do you feel no dread coming down here into this pall of smoke, this ball of fire that pulses at the core of the higher world to which you would return? She spoke again. A little, but no more, to satisfy a mind still keen to learn. I'll tell you why to come here holds no threat for me. Your Aristotle gets it right. All fearful things we safely can forget, except those which, allowed their freedom, might cause harm to others. God in mercy made me such that all your miseries touch me not, nor do the flames of this condemned arcade scorch one hair of my head. But now to what most matters? Take due note of this, great shade. There is a woman in the sky laments for the unfortunate I send you to. Her pain at his entrapment is intense. She is the virgin, and like me to you, she told Lucy, the spirit of all grace, grace that illuminates like the spring sun the soul within, you see it in her face. She told Lucy, right now your faithful one has need of you. You are my choice to go. Lucy, beside whom cruelty has none to match her as an enemy, did so, and came to where I sat with dear Rachel, the soul of contemplation, as you know. You loved your books and candlelight so well. Beatrice, said Lucy, hear me, you that are the picture of God's praise. Why do you not bring help to him whose love for you so far exceeded that of all the common lot who loved you too? Do you not hear his screams of agony? Do you not see the death he battles on the river of bad dreams, deeper than any ocean? In a breath, for never was one quicker in the world, whether to gain a point or flee his fate, than I was when I heard those words. I hurled myself from that serene, unhurried state, like a thrown stone down here, putting my trust in you. Your honest tongue that draws to you honor from all who listen, as truth must. Thus, Beatrice. Then she turned away, a new luster appearing in her shining glance. Her tears, which spurred me quickly to your side, as she asked, lest this beast should seize its chance to cut the straightest road, and you abide far from the lovely mountain, so then why? Why falter, weakling? Why so faint a heart? Why doubt there is a highway in the sky that leads to where all doubts are set apart? Where is your courage? Where your inner steel? Three women loved in heaven do their best to make you loved there too, and still you feel no shame at shrinking down inside your nest, afraid of your first flight. This isn't real. And what of me, who promised you much good it did, claiming to like my book? Does the hero's story shame you? So it should. Catching the firmness in his still fond look, as the little flowers bent by the night's cold and closed and smooth on the outside like gems, when sunlight lights them, straighten and unfold and open opulently on stiff stems, so did I find in my depleted strength the strength of mind to lift my heart again. I thanked them both at last, if not at length. Would she were here who came to my aid when I was most lost? My thanks can have no end. This is the start. And you, my guiding light, who listened to her like a loving friend, of mine as well as hers, with second sight you saw into my soul and said the things that needed to be said for a return to my first purpose. Thank you for what brings my will and yours together, what I learn from my teacher, master, leader, so I said. On the high, hard road, I followed, and he led.